Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This morning, we are thrilled to have Tasha Hart on the phone with us this morning. You may know her as an artist. You may know her as the author of an upcoming Wild Rice cookbook that she's producing in partnership with the Minnesota Historical Society Press. So we've already got another interview with her scheduled about that for somewhere down the line. But I didn't realize until fairly recently that she has been working on a book for kids, young people. It's called Gidgey and the Wolves. Tasha Hart joins us this morning on the phone. Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Lisa. I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, tell us about your book. I was excited to see it when it first popped up. You started to let folks know about it on social media, and I was surprised that you are the artist who is responsible for some of the artwork in the book, or all of it.
Yeah, so that's the part of the book that I'm in right now is the illustrating part of it, and I am doing all the illustrations with pencil, and then I might employ an artist that you might know, my husband, Jonathan Thunder.
Oh, he's expensive, though. He is so expensive.
Yeah, it's going to cost me a lot of good dinners.
Yeah. I got a feeling you got some leverage there without any problem. So talk about the story a little bit. Where did the story come from, and when did you say, hey, I've got a story for kids/young people?
Yeah, so the story, I started gathering inspiration for the story back in the winter of 2017, and maybe I should rewind a little bit before that. So I went to school for biology at Bemidji State and graduated in 2012. And one of the reasons that I did that was so that I could write more intelligently about the places and things that I love, the wilds of Minnesota, animals and plants. And so I did that. And then from about 2010 to 2014, I started and stopped about 3 or 4 novels, and I was finding that I wasn't really getting the depth of character that I needed to make, you know, a complete story. And I realized that it had to do with the fact that there were things in my own story that I kind of had to rework and look back at and sort of just take an honest look at so that I could create more whole, more realistic characters. And so I wrote Girl Unreserved in 2015, and then that was quite the process for me, because it was like it was loosely based on my own coming-of-age story. So there was a lot of personal and things that I kind of had to dig up and relive, and then I put writing down for a little while. And then in 2017, I felt that I was ready to try writing another novel. And so I sort of put an ask out in the universe. I was like, you know, what is the story that I need to be telling right now? I felt like I had a story inside of me, and that the story, I draw my stories from all kinds of inspiration. And over the course of about a year, from the winter of 2017 to the winter of 2018, I started having dreams about animals, and it's nothing that I had really ever experienced before this time. And the first dream that set it off was a dream about wolves, and these wolves were, they were sort of like the spirit of wolves, and they were like helping me. They were helping me to get out of this dark place and get back up to the surface in my dream, this dream that I had. And so they were sort of like humans and sort of like animals. And then I had a dream about dancing foxes, and which is in the book. It's one of the main scenes, like really fun scenes in the book, in Gidgey and the Wolves, is the scene where these dancing foxes come in and they like initiate her. They invite her to help solve a problem in a really fun way. And then I had a dream about like tree frogs and jumping spiders and moose and just all these animals. And I realized, and all the while I was like writing my dreams down. And I was writing how I felt about them, and I was praying, and I was, you know, putting out my asema and like just gathering like what I was being told and trying to figure out, well, what is the story? Like, what is, you know, what does this all mean? And so in 2018 is when I started writing the story. And then it took me about 3 months of writing every day. And yeah.
I'm smiling because I'm thinking about, so often we talk about trials that we go through or troubles or times when we have to go within and resolve some unresolved nonsense psychologically. We talk about it being a character building experience. And yet in this case, it was character building in the sense that you were literally clearing the way to build characters in a novel.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about Jonathan as an illustrator, as a man who also tells stories with art. I'm also curious about his insight. Did he offer you useful, helpful insights about processing these things through art, whether it was drawing, sketching, painting, or your writing?
Well, I think in the sense that, you know, he does the same thing himself in his art, and so, you know, just living in the same house, and we shared it, you know, share the same studio for, you know, a few years now because we work from home, and we lived at the Washington Studio Artists co-op for about a year. And it was when we were in the Washington studios is when I was gathering a lot of the inspiration for the book, and I would just watch him, and he would talk about, you know, basically what you just said, you know, processing different things and talk about how he felt about art. And it did help me. I think it helped me to feel really comfortable and free in kind of looking into that in myself and just being really free with my expression and my searching.
Having somebody who's got your back is a really good place to be in when it comes sometimes to doing that really difficult work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And obviously to have someone that you respect as an artist to look at your own work and say, oh, yeah, I think that's great. That doesn't hurt either. You have also started an independent publishing company, and you have said that you think it's really important for people that are in marginalized groups. I'm thinking about the gentleman we just got off the phone with this morning who's the head of a disability coalition and was talking about there being the largest marginalized group right now in Minnesota, and other people that through whatever characteristics might be considered marginalized. Do you feel it's really important for these folks to be able to tell their own stories and to have a measure of control over that? Talk about that. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I definitely do. So I try, when I'm going to skip back just a little bit. When I was thinking about how do I want to, you know, how do I want to publish this book? And I thought, well, you know, maybe I could approach some agents or publishers. And so I sent like many, many queries to like agents and publishers. And some of the feedback that I got from agents was that they liked my writing, but that they didn't, basically they didn't know how to relate to my main character. And they thought that, so the title, the name Not Too Far Removed Press, that's the name of the press, and that is taken directly from some of the feedback that I got, which was that the character was, they thought it was too far removed from what, how they knew how to market, basically. And I think that's because, you know, a lot of agents and a lot of big publishers, they don't understand marginalized a lot of the marginalized communities, especially Indigenous communities. And I was actually going back and forth with a small Native-run Indigenous press, and they were, you know, pumped to publish my book. And over the course of about a year, you know, I was editing the book and, you know, making it the best that I could make it, and I realized that, you know, they were understaffed. You know, they have all these projects, and there's, like, people that have all the stories that they need to tell. And so they're in the Southwest, and I had this epiphany, like, well, somebody else needs to do this. You know, somebody else needs to step up and start trying to help to get our projects out and our stories out and our voices out, you know, and that was like the motivating factor behind starting the press.
Well, it's a wonderful story, and the story behind the story is a wonderful story. When can avid readers or wannabe readers, when can we expect to be able to hold a copy of the book in our hot little hands?
Yeah, so it's coming out next month for sure, and so I would say next month, towards the end of March, and it's going to be available through Ingram and Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it's going to be available through my website as well, tashiheart.com. You can order books directly from me, and
it wouldn't surprise me if the Aiko gift shop maybe had a couple copies or
two. Oh,
yeah,
you can expect. you can definitely expect to find some in your local small bookstores like the Indigenous First Gift Shop.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. Tasha Hart, thank you so much for joining us this morning. What a pleasure to talk with you. And, yeah, we miss you here in the Northland, and I wouldn't recommend coming home now because it's 30 below, but we'd like you to come home as soon as possible because we miss you here.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thanks. Tasha Hart's book is called Gidgee and the Wolves. It's going to be out at the end of next month, and it will be available, no doubt, in a number of locations here in the Northland. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.